Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I was talking to my dad, and he said something. Whenever he did, I said, "Where in the world did you hear that?" And he said, "Your grandpa used to say that all the time." And I began to think about some of the things that my dad used to say a lot. And here's one of them. He would say this: if you're saved this morning, you don't have a problem so big that the rapture won't take care of it. Can I just say, if you're saved this morning, you don't have a problem so big that the rapture won't take care of it. Boy, how true that is. Can I just say to you this one? I believe what they're saying. I believe what they're saying. I believe the Lord's coming again. I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe this Bible's true. I believe every jot and every tittle in it's right. I don't believe there's any inconsistencies in it. I believe that Jesus came by the way of a virgin. I believe that Jesus lived 33 and a half years. I believe that he never sinned the first time. I believe that he walked to Calvary. He took every sin of every boy, of every girl, of every man, every woman, and it was placed upon him. He that knew no sin became sin. Amen. He was still the darling Lamb of God. He was still the Son of God on Calvary that day. But all of the sin of the world was placed upon him. I believe they took him down. I believe they put him in a grave. I believe that 3 days later he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I believe he stuck around 40 days, reached up, grabbed a cloud, pulled it down, and said, "Glory, please," and left two that said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the clouds?" This same Jesus that went away. Not some other one. This same one. The same one that walked up Calvary's hill. The same one that was beat with a cat of nine tails. The same one that raised Lazarus from the grave. The same one that touched the demon-possessed man. This same Jesus is coming back in like manner. I believe he's coming back. Amen. I really believe that with all of my heart. This week I was studying and I was thinking about something. Let me just give you something. You know, a lot of times, y'all can sit down if you want to. You that can, y'all can sit over there. You say, "Preacher, this isn't ordinary." It's all right. I believe it's what the Lord wants. A lot of times, Brother Jonathan, I get caught up in alliteration. And I get caught up, Brother Stan, I was listening to you teach this morning, and a lot of times we get caught up in alliteration. But I just wrote some things down this week. I'm just going to give them to you the way I wrote them down. Is that all right? Here's what I wrote at the top. Don't quit. Don't quit. Can I just say those words again? Don't quit. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Don't quit, man. It'd be bad to throw in the towel just right before we won. Can I say that again? Just right before. Jesus has already won. It'd be bad to quit. It'd be bad to throw in the towel just right before it was all over. I wrote this down. Don't quit. Every Christian will face discouragement. Here's 4 points I wrote down. Number one, the burden of discouragement. We all face it. Let's just be honest today. We all face discouragement sometimes. I was talking to a preacher this week, and I said, "How's things going?" He said, "Man, things is going great." He began talking about what the Lord was doing at their church, and he said, "How's things going with y'all?" And I said, "Well, the Lord's blessed him, and I'm going to tell you, man, past few months, the devil sure has had his head up." He said, "Well, I guess it's like that sometimes." And I was like, "I don't guess, I know." Are you with me? And sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we question, should I even go to church today? What's the reason? Why'd I even go? Why'd I turn around and tell somebody about Jesus? We face discouragement. I thought about this. Moses in Numbers chapter number 11, he said, "I'm not able to bear all this people alone." What about Elijah in 1 Kings 18? Elijah in 1 Kings 18 prays the fire of God down out of heaven, man. that great showdown on Mount Carmel, and boy, the power of God rest in 1 Kings 18. Elijah, man, he's on the mountaintop. God's done great things. But in chapter 19, he said this in verse 4. Just four verses into it. He said, "Oh Lord, take away my life." Oh Lord, Elijah becomes suicidal just a few verses later. What about this, Jeremiah, that great weeping prophet? You know what he said in chapter number 20? He said this, "I'm just not even going to mention the name of the Lord anymore." You know what he's saying? He said, "I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to sing anymore. I'm not going to testify anymore. I'm just going to quit." We all know that he goes on to say that it was like a burning fire shut up in his bones. And he does go on to preach, but the point is this, they all face discouragement, man. We're going to face it in our life. But hear me, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. Oh, yeah. Discouragement comes when results don't match effort. You ever feel like, man, I'm just giving everything I can give and there's no reward for it? I'll never forget, man, we went through a dry season and wasn't seeing nobody saved. And, man, I was discouraged over that. You've heard me say this before, but, man, I'm telling you, I was at a low point. One service after service, standing back there shaking hands. About 30% of people walk out that way. Everybody else goes out a different way. This lady never comes out that door, hardly ever. But Miss Christy Parker came out that door that day, and she looked at me, and here's what she said. She said, "You can't save them. You just keep preaching." You know what? There's times that the results don't match up to our efforts, and we become discouraged, man. Let's just be honest about it. What about this, when prayers seem unanswered? Prayers seem like, you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and you thought, "Lord, where are you at? God, what have I done wrong? God, why are you not answering me? God, where are you at?" When prayers become unanswered, you say, "Well, preacher, the Bible says that if we'll call unto him, he'll answer us. He says yes, no, or wait. He answers every prayer." I understand that. And if you want to debate theology, I'll debate it with you all day. The truth of the matter is this. We become discouraged when he don't answer the way we want it answered sometimes. I thought about this. When people don't notice. When people don't notice. Whether we want to admit it or not, it means something when somebody goes, "Man, I enjoyed that Sunday school lesson. I could tell you study. I could tell you put your heart into it. I just want you to know, man, I appreciate that." When somebody says, "Hey, that ladies' choir Tuesday night, my goodness, thank you for all your hard work." It means something. You might as well holler amen. And when it seems that nobody's noticing, there's the burden of discouragement. But then can I say this? I wrote this down, number two. There's the call to remain faithful. We just keep doing what we do. Can I say it again? We just keep doing what we do. We, bro, Matt, you don't put all the time into the choir for everybody to come by and shake your hand. You do it because God's led you to do it. We just remain faithful. I remember I told my dad one time, I said, "Dad, I'm going to quit." And here's what he said. I really thought, Brother Jonathan, that he would have some great words of advice for me. And here's what he said. Are y'all ready? He said, "Okay, then quit." And I said, "Do what?" He said, "Well, then quit." He said, "Because if you can quit, you need to quit." There is a call to remain faithful this morning. Listen to what he said, 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he's talking to the saved. He's talking to the born again. Here's what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What does he go on to say? For as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord, steadfast is fixed in direction, firmly fixed in place or position, firmly established. In other words, you're standing your ground. I've watched one football game in my life, and it's because I got free tickets to one of the very first games in the Carolina Panthers Stadium. We sat on the eighth row at the 50-yard line, and the only thing I remember about that game is Kerry Collins got his jawbone broke. Don't even know who Kerry Collins is. Evidently, he played for him at some point in time. He was there that night, okay? That's about the only thing I've ever watched about a football game. But I seen this clip the other day, and it was this guy that looked like he was about 8 foot tall and about 6 foot wide, and evidently he's playing defense, and he was standing there. And whenever they took off, he just stood up. And it wasn't nobody could move him. They would hit him and honestly just fall back off of it. You know what that word steadfast is? It's being fixed. You know what? The enemy's going to come against us. Discouragement's going to come against us. There's going to be times that we are defeated. There's going to be times that we do miss the mark. There's going to be times that we do fail. Oh, but hear me and hear me well. May we be steadfast. May we be fixed in our position this morning. May we be fixed in. He said steadfast, unmovable. Not to be moved from its place, firmly persistent, abounding, it's to remain. There's a steadfastness commanded. There's a faithfulness that's required. What did he say? He said, it's moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Required, it means demand, needed, necessary. 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 It's necessary that you remain faithful. Can I just say that? It's necessary that you remain faithful. It's necessary that you remain. Every one of you sitting here, it's necessary that you remain faithful. There's a call to remain faithful. There's the weariness that's natural because he said in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. It's only common that we become weary sometimes, but we must remain faithful. I thought about this. There's a reward that waits. There's a heavenly crowns that are promised. There's an eternal recognition from Christ himself. There's an inheritance of the incorruptible. But then there's the example of Jesus. Listen to this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what he said? It was a joy to go to Calvary. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Let me tell you the reason that he said that it was a joy, because he loved you that much. And when we look at everything that Jesus went through, when we look at everything that he faced, let's even take Calvary out of it for just a second. Look at what he faced before he ever got to Calvary. Look at the mockery he faced before he ever got to Calvary. Now add Calvary to it. Now add your shame to it. Now add your sin to it. And you know what he said? It was a joy for me to do that. Why? Because he loved you and he loved me so much. And whenever I look at what he did, I look at the price that he paid. I look at how much he loved me. I look at the sinless life that he lived. I look at him loving me enough to allow me to have a relationship with his Father, which is God. You know what it makes me want to do with in myself? It makes me want to rise up one more time. It makes me want to preach one more message. It makes me want to sing one more song. It makes me want to witness to one more person. Why? Because of the way that he loved me. Oh yes. So don't quit. Why? Because he's coming. Listen to what he said. They're going to sing that song again here in just a minute. Listen to what he said. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Listen to this. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Bat your little eyes. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That fast. The only thing that I can even relate to that, don't nobody laugh at me right here, but when I had a kidney stone, and they had walked in there and they'd give me morphine. Brother Blaine, I was beating the walls. That morphine didn't do it. I'm telling you, I was beating the walls in Elkin Hospital. And they said, you said, well, preacher, you should have remembered you as a preacher. I was beating the walls. They come back in there and they said, we're going to give you something else. I said, you need to real quick. And they pushed Dilaudid into my IV. And I'm talking about instantaneously. That quick. How y'all doing? Boy, it's a good world. And I remember that lady looked at Miss Leslie and said, he doesn't take much medicine, does he? She said, no, he doesn't. You know what? I know that's a practical and a carnal illustration. But you think about all the pain of this world. And all the heartache of this world. And all the goodbyes that we say here on this earth. And those that have outrun us in this race. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That fast. Well, yes, listen to what he says. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Listen to this, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall it put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy power? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he says? He said there's coming a day that all of this mess that we're living in, all of this pain that we're living in, all of this sorrow that we're living in, all of this discouragement and despondency that we're living in, thank God there's coming a day in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're getting out of here. Then he says this to close the chapter. Therefore, what's that therefore? Because of everything he just said that we deal with. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The reason that we can be steadfast, the reason that we cannot quit, the reason that we can keep going, it's because Brother Robert, whenever we took Miss Christie and we planted her up there on the hill, that wasn't our last farewell. That wasn't, I'll never see you again. Thank God we've got the blessed hope that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We can remain faithful because the Lord's coming back. This is not a fairy tale. Can I just say that again? This isn't a fairy tale. I'm not just wasting time today. This is not just a Sunday morning tradition. Tell you what this is. It's something we do because he lives. Something we do. I don't come to church for you. If I came to church for you, I'd quit. You might as well holler amen. I'd quit. I'd throw in the towel. you came for me, you'd quit, you'd throw in the towel. That's the problem with a lot of people today. They was going to church for the wrong reason. And whenever they say, well, you don't know how such and such treated me, and you don't know how such and such, why don't you get over such and such? Quit wallowing in your bitterness and realize that we do this for Him. That's why we do this. If you do it for anybody else, you'll not do it long. You'll not do it. You may go just out of habit. I'm talking about serving the Lord with joy in your heart and a spring in your step. I do it for Him today. You say, preacher, I'm going to quit. Well, just go on and quit. But there's something inside of me that won't let me quit, that won't let me throw in the towel. Why? Because of Him today. Because of Him. All discouragement's real. It is. It is. Getting weary's real. But thank God we've got a blessed hope this morning. That this isn't it. This is not the end. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's coming. You say, do you believe that? Absolutely. He's coming.